I'll go ahead. This is an interview with Henry Barbey at his home on Joffrey Street in Auburn, Maine. The date is June 27th, 2007. And this is an oral history for the Brickmakers Oral History Project through the Museum LA. And this is Andrea Lumdier. Could you start by giving me your full name?
Yes, my name is Henry Barbey, and I live on Joffrey Street in Auburn. And we go back many years now. We'll go back into 1960. And my brother-in-law, which was Fern Jaguar and Raymond Jaguar, they got me started in the brick making. I'd done that approximately 3 or 4 years. And from there, we had a lot of years. We had a lot of fun together. And we went from there, my brother-in-law went bricklaying, mason, and that's where I went bricklaying also, mason, and I've done that for the rest of my life after I left the brickyard. And we've done a lot of work around the area here, like the mason on Turner Road, and we worked on the high school in Lewiston, which we've done a lot of fancy work over there, brother and I, Leo. And then we started traveling all over the state from here, one end to the other of the state, to go do masonry work. And that's what I'd done for the rest of my life. And I retired in 99. Mm-hmm. And that's where I am today here, talking to Angie about what I have done. But the years passed by faster than you think. But the brickyard was quite a thing. When I worked down the brickyard, there was a few people I'd like to mention, like the one that was taken off the conveyor to put the bricks in the rack. And he was real young. And that was Andy Demers, which he is the head of the, he was the head of the state trooper of Maine. And then another friend was Rainey Lavoie. And he was an Auburn policeman after that for many years. And I met him at L.L. Bean. We had talked about it a little bit. And I don't know if they'll like me mentioning their name like that, but that's where they got started. Like, that's where I got started also. And as far as to describe everything, I have got a booklet, like, that will describe everything from brick making, the size of the pit and the clay, and all what's done and everything else. And we got pictures of it, which I'm going to give her a few names on it, so she'll be able to put that in also. And if my brother-in-law Raymond Jaguar would be here, he'd say we was the best brickmaker around. So.
And you were at the Mullen Brickyard.
And
is that
this
right?
Is at Mullen Brickyard. Yes.
Danville Junction.
Danville Junction. And that's where we worked for 3-4 years. Together, and we had a good time. When we had enough, we moved on to the bricklayer.
I noticed in the photographs you all were wearing bathing suits. Is that how you needed to work?
Yes, that's how we worked, because we was in the water. When we get in the water, we take, because if there wasn't a movie camera here, we could have a little more action, but it's pretty hard to do it on tape. So, but the picture will talk for himself when they do display it. Mm-hmm. And I wish my brother-in-law was still around.
What were some of the challenges in the brick making? What were some of the hardest things to do?
Shoveling the pit. That's quite a challenge. Because it's a challenge in the front also, where you have to go round and round, putting taking that mold, and you put it in the tub to wash it, and we had a little bit of soap in there, so kind of make it so the clay wouldn't stick. And we'd put it in the machine, and then we'd put the mold, there was a handle, and we'd push the mold in, and then we had the, they called the machete, and we used to jump on it all our way, as you can see right there in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
We'd jump right there, and that would press the clay into the mold. And after that, we'd pull the handle back home, and we had a stick that we took, and we pulled back the, so we'd be smooth with the mold. Then we'd pick it up, turn around, and dump it on the conveyor. Then we'd go back in the tub. We was two in the front, going around and around like that. And eventually, we'd put a hole through the floor with our foot, where we kept going around and around. We'd put a hole right through an inch board. Oh, we had to replace that in the spring. A lot of time we had to replace that. It would come just as smooth as you could get it. You can send it as smooth as that. We've done that all day long, and we used to take out 40 to 46 cars a day, sometimes 48, except for my brother-in-law, Raymond. We had this special machine where they had a conveyor, and we took out 54, 56 cars, just him and I, and that's all good, and that's what my brother-in-law used to say, we are the champion. And I still wish he was around. But he could tell a story better than I could. He really could. And that's about all I can say. I can tell Andrea about the guys, a few names there that's on the pictures, so she'll be able to put it into the...
Yep, the history.
Yeah, she can put it right in there so they'll know who they are.
Yeah.
And that's all about all I can say. Yeah, we've done that all summer long. And I used to go in at 175 pounds. And I'd come out weighing 165, solid. I couldn't complain. I lost a lot of weight when I worked there. So it didn't make me too fat. And I guess that's all about what I can say about it. I don't know.
Now, what kind of bricks did they make at Mon? Was it just one type water struck, or were there different kinds?
No, that was all water struck, but it was all in the burning. So when they set the kiln, they had different type of bricks, you know, like the light red, they had the ringers, and they had some, even had antique bricks that come out of it, because they used to burn with wood. They burn with wood that would give the color of the brick. So it was some pretty nice brick coming out of there.
Mm.
Matter of fact, I still got a few around the house.
Yeah.
So he made some nice brick. They don't make them that way anymore. I don't know how they make it. I'd have to go see. I don't know how they make it now. They don't make it like we used to. Because that pit right there will tell you the dimension and everything. I know it's fairly deep, but you can see the Raymond there. He's just a smidge taller than I am. And he's so more above him. See, where you see that hole shoveling there?
Yes.
That's the machine. In other words, you put three clay to one sand. I can't remember now, but I believe that's what it was.
Yeah.
So that makes a mix. So if you put too much sand, the brick don't shrink.
Mm.
And if you don't put enough sand, it will crack. So you got to have a mix, just like mixing cement, only it's mixing clay to make the brick. And then they put it in kilns to cook them. They burn them. Burn them so they... The brick, when the brick, we take the brick in the mold, I think it's 9 inches long. And I believe it's 4 inches wide and 3 inches thick. And there were six of them in the mold.
Yeah.
That's what we used to, put on the pallet. And then they put them in the rack. It was pretty interesting. I've done that for years in school. I don't remember everything, but the picture will speak for itself. Whoops. The picture will speak for itself.
Now, when you were doing this process every day, were you also building new kills?
Well, yes. That there, I don't have the picture of it, but they had, which that's all changed now, they had kills, but they had men there setting bricks when it's all dry. See, when you see them, them sheds there?
Yep.
Can you see the shed? No, not there.
Oh.
See the sheds right there?
Yes.
That's what we make them right there, where they draw the curtain.
Uh-huh.
Up above, and they had many sheds. There are a lot of sheds. And they put them racks in there to dry.
Okay.
Then when it's dry, they used to come and get it, and they used to have a kill. It's a special place again right there, and they used to set. I never worked to set bricks and stuff like that, but I did work a little bit to pick up brick when it was all burnt and ready to go. I've done that a little bit, but I never worked too much in there. So it's a long process. You know, I don't have all that we have mostly for the brick making over here, and you see some shed,
mm-hmm.
and because today it's altogether different than it was back then.
Yeah.
They used to set the brick in the kiln, and they used to make, I believe, it's three or 4 million bricks a year. That's what they used to make there at Waterstruck. And today, well, they got a, everything is going on, it's set on car, just like a railroad, and it's built with oil, and it goes to this kilt. And by the time it starts, I think it takes the 24 hours, by the time it gets all done, the other end, the brick's done.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they do it today, but back then they used that big kilt where they put, I can't remember if that's 300,000 bricks, I think they used to put per kilt. Now, maybe Rachel's got the info on that.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to go talk with Mom and call them up, and you were supposed to call me back, and he never did, so I didn't bother with
Mom.
Davis.
Davis?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm Davis. And that's about all I can say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because the picture will talk for itself, and you read the...
Yeah.
You're going to find out that I don't remember everything, but it's, I kept that. I had one of them, and I kept it, and I said, I'm going to cherish that one. And when I couldn't find it, I looked all over the house for it, and finally I found it, and I had some copies made for you. That way there you can give it to Rachel, and she can make up the story as it goes. That talks good right there.
How many bricks you put in?
Oh, yeah. So, the story will tell you what the rest of the story, well, I can't remember. I should have read that, it would have helped me out, but I didn't. Yeah.
How long were your days when you worked there?
Well, we start early in the morning. We'd start sometime at 5 in the morning, 6 o'clock. 5 mostly is when it got light, we was there. And at 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
He was gone home. But we had to pull off. You can't see it. after we got done striking, you see where my brother-in-law was working in the pit there?
Yeah.
Up above these certain ones there, we had a big bin up above with the bags with a handle. We used to open up the water. And we used to take the dry clay and we used to kind of even it out so it wouldn't be too soupy and too high.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd fill the pit. Then after the thing was filled up, then we'd go home. Wash up and go home.
Let that set.
Yeah, overnight. And then in the morning.
The next morning.
Yes, in the morning, it would be ready to go again. Every day we'd do that. So it was quite a bit. We had a little easier than some. Some had to shovel it in like that over there.
Yeah.
They had to shovel it in. We didn't. We had the easier one. So we probably weren't as tight as they were over there.
That was hot.
We done that anyway, and at the end of the day, we got the ground. But the first few weeks, though, I used to have holes in my fingers. It wore my skin right off.
Oh, my.
Where I'd go to my brother-in-law, says, go to the drugstore and get yourself some Benzoin, new skin. And I put that, when I get home, I put that 2-3 times, maybe 4 times by the time I get to bed. And it took me 2 weeks before my fingers were hardened up, but I wouldn't have no more holes in my skin. It wore right off.
Yeah.
So I had to build it up, and that's the only way I could build it up quick.
Because you couldn't really wear gloves,
couldn't wear gloves without it. You wouldn't be able to handle the mold and stuff, because we see that little tub right there?
Yeah.
That's where every time we had to dip it in there, see, and go back in the machine, jump in a mess yet, you know, after we put it in, take it out, strip it, go around. We kept doing that all the time, all day long. So we'd take turns. We'd take, like 4 cars. 4 cars would be two curtains on both sides there, like you've seen there.
Yep.
And then sometimes we'd switch. One of us would go in the back, the other one come in. Then, you know, we'd rotate. But he used to stay in the pit long, you know. And then he'd say, well, Henry, it's your turn now. He said, now, today you're going to start the pit. I did. I did good. After a while, he says, who's in the back there helping you? He used to joke about it.
Right, it's just about how many bricks they made.
Yeah, but like the one I was talking about there, when we switched machine, it was just Ray and I sometimes. We do the same job as three men. So it was hard work, but we did it. Just to prove that we could do it. But we was young back then, too.
Yeah.
So.
And what is your birth date?
My what?
Your birth date?
My birthday? I was born in 1937. 13.
November 13.
Yeah, November 13.
And were you born in Auburn?
Yes. Well, Lewiston actually in a hospital, and then we lived in Auburn.
But you lived in Auburn. What part of Auburn did you grow up in?
Right here.
Right here.
Well, not in this house. My brother lived right over there. That's the family house over there. And I didn't move very far. I probably moved about 800 feet away. So I stayed pretty well in the area.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, how many, were there several brickyards in the area?
Well, there was quite a few, but I never went anywhere else. I stuck right there, and then when I got that done, I went bricklaying. I went well, of course, you got to start on the bottom with anybody else. You got to start tending a little bit, and then after that, done that for a couple of years, and then they done some bricklaying.
Yeah.
Started them off, yeah. So, I done all right. Yeah.
Now, can you talk about the term striking and what it means in terms of making bricks?
Well, I just told you this is what they call striking right now. When you take your mold, wash it, put it in the machine, and push the handle in.
That's called striking.
Yes.
Okay.
When you push it in. When you push that handle in, that goes underneath with the clay. You see where that thing turns in the back.
Right.
It's like a mixer.
Okay.
Okay. And when you jump on this, it's a mixer. It's a thing about that long. When you jump on it with all your weight, that's when it presses the mud or the clay into the mold. And then when you pull it out, and you strike it with a stick, you know, it's a stick, and you strike it. That makes it even with the mold. Then when you take it out, that's what they call striking right there.
Okay.
And you keep turning, and that's what they call this guy here is striking. That's myself and my brother-in-law, and we kept going around. That's striking.
Okay.
Striking out the bricks
out
of the machine. when you jumped on this pedal.
Yep.
Jumped on this pedal, that's when it pushed the clay into the, because this clay is mixed, it's just like putty. You can't have it, too soupy. If you got it too soupy, when you pull the mold out like this here, you pull the mold out,
yeah,
the bricks would collapse. See, once they square.
Right.
Okay. So that's why you have to have the mud just, well, the clay just right. I call it mud. It's clay.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's just like putty. You know, you can take putty and you can have your good water to it and it's get too soft. It's not good. It's got to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And by putting our mold into the water, that had a little soap on it, you know.
Yeah.
It had a little soap. I just like washing our hands all the time. And we go around. That's why if you wouldn't have that, the mud, there I go again. The clay would stick to the mold and it wouldn't come out good.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you about in terms of this that you think is important to add?
Oh, I don't know. It's, I think I got it pretty well covered. And, of course, you can read my the booklet, the template, or whatever you want to call it, template or whatever.
Yeah.
You can read that, and that'll explain just about everything. And like I said, I may forget a few things, but that'll cover it pretty good.
Now, I'm going to interview Norm Davis tomorrow.
Yeah?
Now, who has he been, somebody you've known in the brickmaking?
Oh, he's been there for years. He's been there for a long time.
Okay.
He's, as we're talking now, I believe he's, the last I knew he was president.
Yeah.
Of the brickyard down there. Because all the Morins, as you know, they're all passed away now.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're, and the LaChance, well, because Norm will know more about that. LaChance, they, one of the Morin married, LaChance. A Morin woman married a LaChance, and that's how they got LaChance and Morin in there. That only come in later.
Yeah.
But when I worked for them, there was Morin all by, strictly Morin. Well, Norm will be able to fill that in pretty good.
He will.
Yeah,
okay.
I wanted to talk to him, but he didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't talk. He didn't call me, so I didn't talk to him.
Okay. So, thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome, and I hope it comes out good in whatever you're doing.
Thank you.